This is Tessa from Don't Forget the Bubbles. This talk was recorded live at DFTB 18. Enjoy the show.
So, despite popular belief, I'm not going to be able to play some sounds for you and suddenly make you all pediatric cardiologists and experts in murmurs. But a point of interest is that some of the best cardiologists in all time have been completely deaf. So you can see from that little point that not necessarily hearing the murmur doesn't make you a worse doctor. What I can teach you are the fundamental points in the way I approach every patient so that I can safely and compassionately care for them and their family. And at 3:30 a.m. in the emergency overnight, you get a seriously worrisome fright. That harsh sound whooshing through the chest. Try hide your concern. You say it's for the best. Is it innocent or is it the beginning of the end? Go back to the basics. They're your best friend. It's 3:30 a.m. in your emergency department. You're a junior resident. You have dreams of being a pediatrician. The questions run through your mind and your heart is racing at 200 beats per minute. Do you call your boss? Do you call the pediatric cardiologist on call? Do you organize an urgent outpatient echo all by yourself on your own shoulders? I have been on both sides of this coin and I can tell you it is not easy. But what I can tell you is that the word murmur is extremely powerful. It has the power to change lives. It is just a word that you use every day. But to a child and to a family, it is a word that can mean life or death. I go into clinic multiple times a week, and whether the child is completely well or has had 6 cardiac surgeries, the parents will always say to me, "I have a murmur too." They have picked this up from the stories their mothers have told them, and they will carry it for their entire life. It is like a tattoo on their back. They don't understand that the association between their child and their murmur are completely irrelevant, but they hold it in their heart. So the first and most important message I can share with you is that the way we explain things, the subtleties of what we say, have major lifelong implications. So be careful. I can tell you a little story that I share with patients. What car do you drive? What does your car engine sound like? What do other car engines sound like? They all sound different, but they all work the same. A murmur is an innocent sound created by vibrations in your heart that are transmitted through your chest wall, and I hear them. They do not necessarily mean that there is anything different or wrong with your child's heart. Your child's heart is working perfectly. That is what I need to leave with you today. A murmur is just a word. It is everything else that makes up that child's story that determines their future. Horton's distraught. His heart is fraught. Stress fills his mind. Luckily, he left his death behind. Numbers and statistics running through his head, but he stood still watching the child from the end of the bed. By 9 a.m., poor old Horton, more dead than alive, had picked, searched, listened to more than 9,005. So you have your 4-year-old patient in the emergency department. They got Panadol. They're now running laps around your ED, smiling and giggling and telling their mum how happy they are. Are you still concerned about that heart murmur? Because using your knowledge from medical school, you say, "But I can still hear it when they stand up." And the standing up test is incredibly sensitive and specific. But still, every other aspect of that child's examination and history reassures you that they are perfectly well and healthy and at a low risk. So at 6 a.m., and you call the pediatric cardiology fellow because it's an appropriate time for you to now wake them up. And I can tell you, I will do what your heart and mind are already doing for you. I will reassure you kindly and with a smile on my face and a joke that that child is fine, and we will see them non-urgently in 18 to 24 months. Here you have another child staring exasperatedly into your eyes, giving you cuddles and gurgling, and you're sticking a thermometer in their mouth. They will be tachycardic. They will be febrile. They will be upset and distressed, and you will have a busy emergency department. How can you hear or interpret anything? But what I can tell you is this child is acyanotic. They do not have a precordial impulse that is hyperdynamic. They have no signs of heart failure. They are otherwise developmentally normal. They are otherwise happy when mum has them at home, and they have an intermittent murmur. So determining whether this child has a functional murmur due to the fever or anemia, an innocent murmur due to peripheral pulmonary stenosis of infancy, or is just a happy child, it is going to be hard, and we have all been there. But you have every other reassuring sign that this child will be fine. It's all on the history. So what is the thing to recap? Murmur is a powerful word. Murmurs are common. 85% of children have a heart murmur at some point in their life. Okay? So it is extremely common, but less than 8 in 1,000 or 8 in 10,000 children have both congenital heart disease or significant congenital heart disease. So how do you get from 85% to 8 in 10,000? Most will have a normal heart. Okay? They will not have congenital heart disease. Clinical experience is the best predictor of the differentiation between an innocent and a pathological murmur. But the other thing that is critical is discussing your findings with your colleagues. Don't put everything on your shoulders and your shoulders alone. The only way we will all improve is if we all work together to improve our level of skill. And that applies to your bosses and to your medical students. So the key message here is, are you really listening to what people are telling you? Because it is all on the history. Like Horton held his clover and he heard those soft voices. You can hear soft voices. Grade 1 and 2 and 6 ejection systolic murmurs are innocent until proven otherwise. But at every point in their life, they will have a functional, an innocent or a pathological murmur, and things can change. Am I ageist? Hell yes. I am judgmental beyond concern when it comes to a child's age. If they are day 8 to day 10, if they are 4 to 6 weeks of age, if they are 4 to 6 months of age, 4 to 6 years of age, 14 to 16, I will treat you and your child differently. And that is because of statistics, epidemiology, and risk stratification. I will treat every one of those children differently. And it will determine whether I see your child within 1 hour, 1 week, 2 weeks, 1 month, 1 year. Never. It will change everything. So my real question is, are you listening to what people are telling you? It can be the most subtle piece of a history, the thing you disregard that can change an outcome for not only that patient, but their entire family. I bring you one of my favorite patients, a 10-year-old state soccer star. He came into the emergency department with a broken finger. Now, an extremely diligent junior resident asked a full systems review, and not only one way, but multiple ways. And what did they find? He had been dizzy at the end of his soccer matches recently. And one time, not telling anyone, last week he rode his bike, and then he can't remember anything, but he woke up on the sidewalk on some grass. He had sustained no injuries, so he then rode home. What is the piece of history that changed this child's life? The resident asked about dizziness and syncope, and didn't ask it one way but multiple ways, because we all have different words to express our experiences. Now, no one will understand the histology slide, I don't expect you to, but what you have is a child who not only was diagnosed with hypertrophic obstructive cardiomyopathy, but you have saved his entire family's lives. He was the index case. His brother has a septum just as thick as he does. He's just never collapsed. The entire family is now on therapy. Everyone is getting clinical screening. They have had genetic testing, and you've saved not only his direct family, but all of his cousins as well, because they all carry the pathogenic mutation. His murmur was soft. I would have disregarded it myself. Here we have Kanga. Kanga was a 6-year-old boy from country Victoria. He was adorable. He had the most hilarious behaviours. His parents recounted them to me perfectly. He loved kangaroos. He would go through the farm paddocks and squat every 5 metres. He was pink. He had this most severe obstruction in his RVOT you could ever see in an otherwise well child. He had an intermittent murmur. It could have sounded innocent, because there was so little flow through his right ventricular outflow tract. He had surgery the next week. His history hinged on his nickname of Kanga. So every single one of us has to put on our thinking cap. Pediatric cardiology is not the realm of a genius. It is not the realm of someone who goes to work every day going, I am God, I'm going to save a life. It is someone who goes, I know nothing, I'm going to check through everything, and I'm going to make sure and double make sure that this child is safe. They put on their thinking cap, they close their eyes, they listen to the history, they listen to everything the parents tell them. They ask multiple ways the same question, and then they think, what do I expect to see? What do I expect to hear? The first rule of pediatric cardiology is to not put the stethoscope in your ears until you know what you are looking for. The second rule of pediatric cardiology is to not listen to the murmur until you have listened and examined every single other thing, because it's the clues you get from every part of the history, every part of your examination that guide your understanding of what you are listening to and what you are not hearing, because it's the negatives that are as important as the positive findings. So, I want you to enjoy the silence. I want you to meditate and block out everything going on around you. That parent could be telling you that they're in financial disrepute and that it's going to be the end of the world, but you block your eyes, you block your ears, and you meditate on the sounds. You listen to the first heart sound. You listen to the second heart sound. You look at the splitting. You look at whether it's fixed and widely split, whether there's respiratory variation. You then listen for the absence of a third and fourth heart sound, the absence of a rub, the absence of a valvar click or an opening snap. You listen for each of those things stepwise, because the fact that it's not there is as important as if it was. You then listen to the period between the first and second heart sound. You listen for systolic murmurs. No one cares whether it's holosystolic, ejection systolic, decrescendo, crescendo. No one cares, because it is really hard when the heart rate is 200. You hear some whooshing, okay? That's all we expect. That's all I expect of myself. Something's whooshing, okay? You then listen for my favorite term in pediatric cardiology, which is the absence of silence in diastole. A diastolic murmur is pathological until you have proven otherwise. Okay? So listen for an absence of silence. Everything is about the silence. And it's not easy. Every one of these hearts is beating at an adult heart rate of 80. Can you do this at 200? Examination is a dynamic process, they say, watching the kid run this and that way. See them feed, sleep, run, jump, and cry. Do some special tests before you say goodbye. Examination is a dynamic process. You look at how they feed. Feeding for a baby is your biggest clue about a significant congenital heart disease. Watch them run. Ask them, are they able to keep up with their friends in the playground? This gives you the most vital information. But what I can tell you is your hands are precious tools. Never forget to connect with your patient. Put your hand over their heart and feel it. Mine is racing currently. There is so much you can learn from a precordial pulsation. Okay? So much. You can feel the significance of a VSD and the amount of flow going through the pulmonary circulation by their hypodynamic precordium. I can tell you whether a patient will need surgery by doing this. That is it. It creates a connection between you and your patient, you and their family. Never forget to put your hand on their chest. It is a vital tool. Feeling of the femoral pulses, feeling of the liver edge. We should be doing this not alone, but together, every day on a ward round, because it's by lifting, listening and feeling each and every day that you feel the variation in that child and you compare notes as a team and you improve your level of skill. Now, this is one of my favorite photos. This is from my time in the Northern Territory and I carry it with me every day because your location changes the way you practice. This 14-year-old child had no history, had a normal examination, and 2 weeks later was on a surgical table. You do not need a history of acute rheumatic fever or rheumatic heart disease. You do not need an abnormal examination to find something that will change that life forever. Sound is not working. Unfortunate. What I wanted to play for you was the sound that he will live with every day for the rest of his life. He now has a mechanical mitral valve click that he goes to sleep with every day in his outback community. We can do better and we need to do better. But we are terrible as a cohort with our histories and examinations. We are not sensitive nor specific, and nothing that we do will change that except exposure and except time and except repeating again and again and improving our skill and talking openly. Ask the cardiologist, go, hi, that patient I sent you 3 weeks ago, what did you find? What are you going to do for them? And tell me, how are they going? Can you tell me how they go after their surgery? Put me on the letter. Make sure that I get feedback from the case I have sent you. This is a 3-month-old, gorgeous child. Mum presented to ED 6 times concerned about her baby. She was told each and every time that her child had a viral illness. Now, what happened? A very good resident listened to the mother, not the examination. The red flag here is the mother knows best. A mother knows their baby. A mother knows when something is wrong. I can assure you, as soon as I examined that baby, I knew it was so much more than a soft pan-systolic murmur. This child was in a low cardiac output state, near death. It had not fed well for weeks. It had not gained weight. It had a massive liver. Its heart had the poorest impulse I had ever felt. This was the ECG, widespread adult-like ischemia. This child had a massive anterolateral infarct because what did the child have? Not cardiomyopathy, but an anomalous left coronary artery from the pulmonary artery. You felt that pulse and you knew that this child was in danger, but no one had taken the time to feel the pulse, or if they had, they hadn't recognized how sick this child was. They were gray and cool. They were not feeding. They were asleep in mum's arms. The mum knows best. I can show you the latest evidence. I can show you the science. But nothing has changed the thousands of years tradition of listening to your patient, examining your patient, and giving them the time and place they deserve. There are novel methods, and nothing has really changed our ability to diagnose things. What I can tell you is that teaching cardiology with meaning and sense has an impact. Teaching cardiology and each other and learning from each other has meaning and sense. We are now in an age where the stethoscope will be replaced with echocardiography. It is being taught in medical schools. Everyone is needing to do it as part of their training pathway. But I am not ready to give up the stethoscope. I am not ready to stop listening to my patients. The echo is not the answer, and neither is this amazing iPhone app, which will attach to your stethoscope and diagnose the murmur for you. What I can tell you, and I must impress upon you, is the word murmur has power. A murmur does not mean that there is a problem with your child's heart. A murmur will change your life, and it's on us all to make sure that we care for our families. A person is a person, no matter how small. It's the real story that captures us all. A murmur's just a murmur, no matter how loud. I've learnt my lessons, and so I'm proud. The child is healthy and safe because we all cared. Cardiac fellowship now awaits because I dared. It is the unique sounds of each and every one of these patients' hearts and their story which sits with me till today, and I will never forget any single one of them. So I'm asking you, are you really listening? Are you really feeling? Are you looking after your patients? And I am here to empower you because I know the answer is yes. Thank you.